Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are very near the end of Masachet Ketubot, and today we're going to deal with several short Mishnayot that deal with further rulings, first of Hanan, and then the first few rulings of Admon, beginning with Mishnah Bet, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Bet. Mishalach Nirat Hayam V'Amar Achad Ufir Neitzit Ishto. This is a Mishnah that we've seen several times already in our studies. If somebody went away, again, dealing with the same topic that we've dealt with in the first Mishnah, but somebody went out of town or overseas and left his wife without mizonot, we would assume, and somebody else got up and fed her on his own. Hanan omer ibedit ma'otav. Hanan says he has no claim. He's lost his money. He has no claim whatsoever on the husband when the husband returns. And nechleku alav b'nei kohanim gedolim. Again, the b'nei kohanim gedolim disagreed with him. V'yamru yishava kamahotzi v'yitol. The fellow, when the husband comes back, the fellow should take an oath as to how much he spent or how much he gave to the woman, and he should claim that. Amadosman Hokinas Kidivrahem. Again, Amadosman Hokinas supported the Bnei Kohanim Dolim. Ariyachon Menzakai, again, he supported Hanan. Yafe Amar Hanan. Hineach Ma'otav al Keranat Tzvi. Hanan said correctly, because the man put his money on literally the horns of a deer. In other words, he threw his money away. He donated it to a cause that he had no contractual, the other fellow had no contractual obligation to pay him back. And so therefore, he lost his money. Okay, let's see how the Gemara deals with this. Tanatam, Hamudar Hanam Echaviro, in Masachet Nedarim, Perek Dalad Mishnah Bet, says that if one is Mudar Hana'ah, is not allowed to get Hana'ah via Neder from another, Shokelo et Shiklo, the one who he is not allowed to get benefit from, may give Mechtzida Shek on his behalf, Foreat Chovo, and may pay his debt, that's the part we're going to go back to, Machzir Lo Avedato, can even return a lost item. The Gemara in Nedarim there discusses who's returning to whom. That's far off of our topic and out of our interest, but the problem is that if it's a place where they normally pay for returning lost items and the fellow doesn't want to accept the payment, then that mechila may provide hana'ah, therefore the money goes to Hekdesh. Alright, Bishlama Shokelo Chiklo, I understand why he can take to his machzid shekel mitzvah ka'avid, because bringing the machzir shekel on behalf of somebody else is a mitzvah. But none, the Mishnah in Shkalim says, "Tormin al havur v'al hagavui v'al atid likvot." They would collect the trumat halishka, that is to collect into the three baskets, based even to include and to take into account those shkalim that were lost, and those that had already been collected but not yet arrived, and those that weren't even collected yet. So that's a mitzvah. Machzir lo aveda, so I understand why he can return his lost item on mitzvah kavi. There's also a mitzvah vashavas aveda. In other words, the mitzvah lav lahenot nitnu, and therefore he's not getting any hana'ah because the fellow's doing a mitzvah. That's okay. Alapore lo at chavo. How can I pay your debt and it not be considered that I'm giving you hana'ah? Hakamishtar Shilei was going on Ah, Roshaya Hamani Rachanani. So he answers that it's Hanan, Hanan from our Mishnah, Damari Beit Meotav, that when you go and pay somebody else's debt, the guy doesn't have to pay you, which means that the fellow, you have not given a Hanan to the fellow, because otherwise he would have to pay you for it. Rava Amar Afilu Temer Rabbanan. So Rava says no, that Mishnah in the Nedarim could even follow Rabbanan. Hakamayaskin Shalav Amanat Shaloli Fraud. The fellow borrowed money, that's the fellow who's Mudar Hanah, borrowed money from another fellow with the condition that the other fellow won't come after him. And he'll pay it in his own good stead, and there's no set date, and the other fellow can't come afterwards. Which means this fellow paying off his debt early didn't help him at all. So Bishlama lo Rava Kamar, Rava lo Kamar Rava Shai. I understand why Rava didn't take Rava Shai's perspective, Demokim Lak Rabbanan. He wanted the Mishnah to follow Rabbanan also. Hello Rava Shai, my Tamalo Makar Rava. Why didn't Rava Shai say like Rava? Why didn't he accept Rava's position on it? In other words, that the Mishnah is even Karabanan. Even in a case like that, when you borrowed without the fellow being able to come collect from you, so maybe you don't have tangible Hana, but you still have the Hana that you don't have to be embarrassed seeing the guy anymore now that you've paid, that's been paid up. That's the Hana. Because that the fellow is embarrassed from him. So in other words, it's very difficult to establish this karabonin. Okay, next Mishnah. Admon omer shiva. We saw the two things that Hanan said. Now Admon 7. Number 1. Mishemet v'niach panim vanot. Man died. It's very much of ketubot. He left sons and daughters. Bizman shanachasim merubin. Panim yoshim v'banot nizonot. This is the Mishnah that we saw in the fourth parak. If there's plenty of property, then the sons inherit and the girls are fed. But if there's not much in the estate, the girls are fed and the boys have to beg. Admon says, just because I'm a boy, I lost, and why should the boys have to go beg and the girls get to eat? Gamliel wrote down Divri Dir Admon. Gamliel supported, like we saw from Yochanan Zakkai supporting Hanan, here Gamliel supports Admon. Now, what was Admon's argument? My Kamar, the Gemara asks, Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar Mishvil Shani Zachav Ro'i Lasok B'Torah Ipsadati? So Abaye makes it about religious obligations. I am supposed to be studying Torah, so why should I lose and have to go beg? So Amar Abaye Rava, Manda Asik B'Torah Hud Yarit, Manda Lo Asik B'Torah Lo Yarit. So Rava says, since when are you making such distinctions? Yerusha is not about somebody who studies and doesn't study. You're going to say only those boys who study can make such an argument? Ella Amar Rav, Rav gives a different explanation. Rav says that Abba Admon's argument is, since I'm a boy who, if there was a large estate, I'd be the heir, now that there's a small estate, I'm on the short end of the stick, doesn't make sense, I should get equal money with the sisters. Okay, next Mishnah. Hatonit, just a one brief introduction to this Mishnah. There is a halacha of modeb miktzata ta'ana, that if I come and claim you owe me $100,000 and you say, no, I only owe you $50,000, you have to take an oath to the effect that you don't owe me the other 50. And that is the shvua, which is midoraita, of modeb miktzata or modeb miktzata ta'ana. What happens though if I claim one amount of a particular item and you deny that you owe me any of that item, but you admit that you owe me some smaller amount, let's say, of another item? That's not modeb miktzata ta'ana. And there is no shvua d'oraita. Watch here. Hatoinu chaviro kadei shemen. So if one person says, you owe me jugs of oil, and the other fellow says, I owe you some jugs, not with oil, the jugs themselves. Admon says, since the fellow admitted to partial debt, and that part of the claim is true, therefore he has to take an oath. Chacham say he's not admitting to anything that was claimed. What was claimed is oil, and he's admitting to jugs. Amar Gamliel, Rav's Rayan, Adivra Admon. Again, Amar Gamliel comes in support of Admon. Now, Shmamina the Rabbanan. We're taking the Rabbanan's position, and it sounds as if the fellow said, you owe me oil and jugs, and the other fellow say, I only owe you jugs. That's what we think. Ta'anochi tinu sorin. If A claims that B owes him wheat and barley, Vodama sorin, the other fellow says, I owe you some barley, patur, that a court of Rabbanan doesn't have to take an oath. Same said that, which is the direct implication of our Mishnah, because the Rabbanan said, when you say, you owe me oil, jugs of oil, and I say, I only owe you jugs, I'm patur. So, lema te'abihu tuyuvtu Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. This sounds to be at odds with Shmuel. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, tanoch itin usarim odalo b'achad mihan chayav. Shmuel said that if one person claims that the other person owes him wheat and barley and the other fellow admits to one of those, he's chayav. In other words, if you admit to only one of the sections of the claim, you're still chayav. He says, no, you know what our Mishnah is where he's claiming you owe me a certain amount of oil. In other words, you owe me a certain jug amount of oil. And the other fellow says, I don't owe you have any oil, I have your jugs. So, which means it's not connected at all. So why would Admon say has to take a shvua? That doesn't make sense at all. He's not responding at all to the claim. Both Admon and Chacham agree that if the fellow says you have 10 jugs worth of oil in your pit, in your vat, then he's claiming shemen, he's not claiming kankanim, and everybody would agree there's no oath. But if he says, I have 10 full barrels of oil that you're holding on to, he's claiming both oil and jugs, and therefore everybody will agree that you're chayav. Kipligi, where's the disagreement about? It's actually not about the halacha, but it's about how to interpret the language. He says, I have 10 jugs of oil, not 10 full jugs, but 10, which implies that it's the amount and the jugs themselves, but rather 10 jugs of oil that of mine are your, are in your property. Admon omer, yesh bo lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. Admon says that can be interpreted as referring to the jugs themselves. For Rabbanan Savri and Belashon Azeh Lashon Kankanim, Chachamim say no, it doesn't mean that at all, it means oil. Alright, so Elatama de'en Belashon Azeh Lashon Kankanim, so the only reason you're saying that Chachamim say there's no oath is because we couldn't interpret it as jugs. Hayesh Belashon Azeh Lashon Kankanim, but if it were interpretable as jugs, Chayav, they would agree with Admon that you're Chayav. So that's going to bring another problem. Lema Tiyavet Tiyuv to Rav Chiya Bar Abba. That stands at odds with Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Tanoch Hitin Useorin. Vahodalo bechad mehem. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says if you claim that you owe wheat and barley, the opposite of Shmuel, and the fellow admitted to one of them, patur. In other words, we want our Mishnah to not be supportive either of Shmuel or of Chiya Bar Abba, who are at odds with each other, because then that would end their disagreement. Our Mishnah would be a slam dunk. Ella, or else Shmuel and Chiya Bar Abba should just simply say halacha kadmon halacha kachamim. Halacha mayaskinan. The guy said, I have 10 jugs of oil in your property. And the other fellow said back, Shemen lahadam. Shemen never happened, there was no oil. And also, as far as the jugs go, I only have 5 of yours, not another 5. Which means within the jugs, he's admitting only to part. Admon says that the original claim includes also jugs. And therefore what happens, since within the context of the jugs, he's admitting to part, that's modev miktzat, umigo de mishtaba kankanim, and since he's taking an oath about the jugs, mishtaba nami ha-shemen, ayide gilgul. This is something we saw a little while ago, that when there is a claim that cannot be driven to an oath, it's not strong enough, but there is a concurrent claim that can be driven to an oath, the other one can be piggybacked on it. It's called Gilgul Shvua. So Admon says, since the fellow said, I don't have any oil, but I do have 5 of your jugs, and therefore he has to kashvu about the other 5 jugs, midoraita, he can also piggyback, the other fellow can make him piggyback an oath about the oil itself. Rabbanan Savri, en b'loshon hazeh loshon kankanim. Rabbanan say again, kadei shemen does not mean kankanim at all, it just means an amount. What the one claimed, the other ignored, and what the one responded to, the other hadn't claimed. Which means that there is absolutely no shvuah d'oraita, therefore there's no piggybacking here. Okay, the last mishnah that we'll see within this series is as follows. A fellow, his daughter is about to get married, and he makes an agreement of how much he's going to give the son-in-law, the dowry, and then he goes broke. She's stuck. Literally, she could sit until her hair grows white. In other words, she can't force the husband to marry her because the conditions are lost. She also can't force him to divorce her. And therefore, that's Chacham's position. Admon says she could claim, listen, if I had made the deal, I understand. I'd be stuck. My father made the deal. Why should I suffer? Oh, knoso p'tor, either marry me or divorce me. Ramagamliel, Aranyativri Admon. Again, Ramagamliel now supported Admon. Alright, so now, Matnitin, our Gemara is going to be divided into 2 halves. This little paragraph is half of it about the Mishnah itself and half about generally how we rule in these Mishnayot. Matnitin loki haitana. Our Mishnah does not accord with the following Tana. The Tanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, he has a different version of the argument. Lo nechelku Admon v'chacham mala posek mal dachot no pashat lo taregel. Admon v'chacham did not disagree about the case where the father of the bride makes the deal and then went broke. Shicholah yishtomar abapasak alai man yicholah sot. She can claim, father made the deal, what can I do? Alma nechelku, what did they disagree about? Al shepaska hi al atzma, when she made the deal for herself. Shechacham imomrim teshev ad shtalvin rosha. Chacham said she's stuck. Admon omer yicholah yishtomar kisvurani she'aba noten alai. Admon says that even in a case where she made the deal, she can argue, I thought father would support me. I made an agreement that I would bring this much into the marriage. I thought father would support it. Turned out that he's on his way to jail for SEC violations. I don't know. He can't pay. good. O kronoso ptor, and therefore either marry me or divorce me. And again, even in this more radical version of the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel comes out in support of Admon. Now, Tana, b'med dvarim amurim, when do we say that she is stuck? Bigdola. Aba b'ktana kofin. But if she's a ktana, then we force. Kofin l'man, who do we force? Ilei malav, we force the father? Ipchami b'ayelei. It should be the opposite. That if she's a gdola, then take a look at Rashi for a second. That if we're going to force the father to pay, then it makes sense that when the girl is an older girl and the father made the deal, the girl was somehow involved, somehow affected. Now when she's a ktana, so it can't be that we force the father to pay what he can't pay. Ela amar rava kofin lebaal litein get. It means that even chachamim agree that we force the guy to give a get. Okay, and that's the end of that piece. Now, the second half of this Gemara deals with ruling in our Mishnayot. Yitzchak ben Elazar b'shmei d'chizkiyah. He said in the name of Chizkiyah, Kol makom shomer Gamliel roen et divrei Admon. Everywhere Rabbi Gamliel made that comment that we've seen in all three of the Mishnayot of Admon so far, where he said, I support Admon. Admon's words seem right to me. Halacha kamoto. That's the halacha. Amar le Rav Lo Nachman. Now, it makes it sound as if wherever Rabbi Gamliel does not say that, we don't follow that. So I'm a Rav Lov Nachman. Afilu bebraita, but even in a braita, not just in a Mishnah, but anywhere he said it. I'm really me coming in a Mishnah. Rav Nachman said, I didn't say only in a Mishnah. B'chol makom shem Rav Gamliel coming in. Anywhere Rav Gamliel says, Ruan eti vanon. So even if it's in a braita. So I'm Rav Zeir, I'm Rav Bar Yirmi. Yashnei dvarim shamar Chanan, the two halachot of Chanan, about when the husband goes away, halacha kayotzebo, the halacha follows the one who supports him, meaning Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Shivad varim shamar Admon, the seven things of Admon, ain halacha kiyotzeva. The halacha does not follow the one who supports him, which is Rav Gamliel. So my kamar, what is he saying? Ilei machi kamar, if you think he said, shnei dvarim shamar Chanan, halacha kamato v'chayotzeva, read it just the way we did. Shivad varim shamar Admon, ain halacha kamato v'lo kiyotzeva, that we never accept Admon's halachot in any of these rulings? Yitzchak ben Elazar b'shmei d'chizkiyah, k'makom shamar Gamliel, or anei divrei Admon, halacha kamato. Chizkiyah said, every to where that Rav Gamliel said, Alachak Ronea Divrei Admon, we do rule like that, so you can't say in all seven, Admon's rejected. Alachi Kamar, this is what he must have meant. Shnei Dvarim Shamar Chanan Alachak Matol Chayotzebo, fine. Shidvar Dvarim Shamar Admon, Ein Alachak Chayotzebo. The seven things that Admon said on his own, the Halacha does not follow the one who followed him. Hakimoto Halacha Bechulu. Right? And now we raise it as a question, ha kamoto alacha kayotzebo? Are we going to say that where he said, ha kamoto halacha b'chulu? So we're going to say that halacha follows him? Halacha kamoto, so it's only Rav Gamliel supported him. Amar in lo amar lo, so you can't say that where Rav Gamliel didn't speak up, we do follow Admon. Here's what it means. Where Chanan spoke, we follow him in those two things. Like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Shivad Vam Shamar Admon, the seven of Admon, Yeshman Shalacha Kamoto, Vechayotzebo, Yeshman Shain Alacha Kamoto, Alakayotzebo. Sometimes the halacha does not follow him, it follows him and the one who supports him, Rav Gamliel. And sometimes the halacha does not follow him, but rather the one who supports him. B'chol makom shamar Gamliel, ranti Radmon, halacha kamoto enachlo. Only in those places where Rav Gamliel said, I support Admon, then the halacha follows him. In the other cases, it doesn't. Okay, Mirtz Hashem. We have, I think, two or three more podcasts till the end of the Masachet. In the meantime, we are on Daf Kuf Tet Amud Aleph, and everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up at the next Mishnah with the next ruling of Admon in the next podcast.